Take your Bibles, please. Turn to the book of Acts, chapter 26. Acts, chapter 26. We're going to read verses 14 through 18 together. We'll read this passage responsively. Acts, chapter 26, verses 14 through 18. And when we were all fallen to the earth, I heard a voice speaking unto me, and saying in the Hebrew tongue, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And I said, Who art thou, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. But rise and stand upon thy feet, for I have appeared unto thee for this purpose, to make thee a minister and a witness both of these things which thou hast seen and of those things in which I will appear unto thee, delivering thee from the people and from the Gentiles unto whom now I send thee. And let's finish on verse 18 together. Ready? To open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and the inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. And let's pray. Father, thank you again so much for this place. Lord, you've been so good to us. This morning you met with us with your power, and we learned from the Word of God how that we could get you to answer our prayers if we would just align ourselves with you in your Word. And Father, please fill our preacher tonight with your power. Oh, such a needy subject tonight. The devil is alive, he's real, and he's fighting us. Lord, we need you, we need your power. Please fill our preacher in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated.
This morning I announced to you my sermon title. I'll announce it to you again this evening. It's called Let's Fight Back. Let's Fight Back. I'm going to read a passage of Scripture to you. You heard it earlier. Acts chapter 26, verse 17 and 18. It says, Delivering thee from the people and from the Gentiles, unto whom now I send thee, to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. Jesus is speaking to the Apostle Paul here, telling him, I'm going to send you to some people that need their eyes open because they were not seeing right. These people were in darkness, needing to be saved, and they needed to have their eyes opened up. Their eyes needed to be opened from darkness to light. They need their eyes open from the power of Satan opened up unto the power of God. Now, of course, then that was God through Jesus Christ. It was his charge to the Apostle Paul, Paul being a preacher and a man of God. I hope that I could take that as a personal charge from God. I hope that I could help you to open your eyes to some things. I hope that I could help shed some light on some things for you in regard to the opposition of Satan in our lives. I want you to be able to overcome the wicked one. The Bible says in 1 John chapter 2, verse 14, it says, I have written unto you, fathers, because ye have known him that is from the beginning. I have written unto you, young men, because ye are strong, and the word of God abideth in you, and ye have overcome the wicked one. I want you to overcome the wicked one. Romans chapter 16, verse number 20, it says, and this is the Lord speaking of Christians, it says, And the God of peace shall bruise Satan under your feet shortly. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Amen. Satan can be bruised by God under our feet. In other words, our feet could be used as a tool to kick the devil in the teeth. Now, I would like that. I would like for you to overcome the wicked one. See, don't forget, folks, Satan opposes us. Satan attacks us. He's our enemy. He hates you, and he hates God. Don't ever lose sight of the fact you have an enemy. And I want us to be able to fight back. I want us to fight back. When I was a When I was a younger man, my father was a boxer. Now he grew up and he was a fighter when he was young, but he was a boxer, and he sparred with Golden Gloves heavyweight champion for the state of Ohio. And we were kids. My dad was putting the gloves on us when we were very, very little. He thought boys ought to know how to punch on each other, and now we put those gloves on here. But the hardest thing for me is when we were boxing, me and my brothers, I just never could totally give myself to wanting to hit my brother as hard as I could. So I was always on reserve just a little bit. Now, if we were in the backyard over a bicycle or something, we could really go at it. But with those boxing gloves, there was always just a little bit of hesitation. But I went to the public school. Every once in a while, they got the boxing gloves out in phys ed class in the public school. It is funny how much easier it was to try to waylay somebody at school than what it was for me to want to hit my brother. When we got, boy, and especially if at school they socked me a good one, especially if they hit you in the nose and draw blood, suddenly you lose control of your desire not to hurt someone, as all good Christians do. Well, let me tell you something. When it comes to fighting Satan, I don't want you to be on reserve. I want you to fight. We need to fight him. We need not be pacifists in regard to our enemy, Satan. You know, you say, well, Brother Owens, God says love everybody, but he didn't tell us to love the devil. Well, no, we're angry at him, and he's angry at us, and he hurts us, and we've got to fight him. Listen, I feel like some Christians almost want to be Satan's punching bag. Well, you don't have to be Satan's punching bag. You can fight back. I want our eyes opened unto God's power, which can help us to defeat Satan. I want us to be overcomers. I want us to overcome the wicked one. I want God to use our feet to stomp the devil. Now, I was just looking in the Bible one day, and I was seeing where there's six or seven times in the Bible where God mentions or teaches there's a way for us to fight back. There's a way for us to protect ourselves. There's a way for us to survive this war that we're in with the devil. Now, these are not amazing revelations or anything. They're just very simple things. You won't walk away from the sermon tonight saying, wow, that was incredible. I don't have anything new to give you. I'll remind you of some things that you already know, but let me say to our congregation, let's fight back. Let's fight back. Let's not be Satan's punching bag. There are some things that we can do to keep ourselves from just being boxed to death by the devil and in different areas of life. Let me show you what I mean. Let's fight back by forgiving those that offend us. Let's fight back by forgiving those that offend us. If I were to take the time, and I cannot, I don't want to take the time to read all the scripture connected to this, but if we were reading in 2 Corinthians chapter number 2, if we read verse number 10 and a couple of verses before, the Lord is talking about someone that's been offensive and someone that has hurt somebody, and when you get to verse number 11, it says this about that forgiveness. It says, lest Satan should get an advantage of us, we are not ignorant of his devices. The Bible's saying here, God said, if you can learn to forgive, if somebody offends you and you can learn to forgive, it'll keep Satan from getting an advantage on you. And what did it talk about? It's talked about receiving someone that has offended you, someone that's done something offensive. Listen, folks, a lack of forgiveness in your life sets Satan up to have an advantage over you. You've got to learn to forgive. I cannot tell you how many times in life I've seen Satan defeat people, not necessarily because that person went out and got drunk or got high on drugs. They just couldn't forgive in the church. That probably takes more people out of good churches than booze and adultery and all the rest. They just get offended and they can't get over it. They can't fix it. So they leave a good church. Why? Satan, they were boxing, and Satan got an advantage of them. Why? One of the ways to fight back is to forgive. It is to forgive. You see, if you don't learn to forgive, then bitterness is going to develop in your life. It won't be long. You won't be thinking right. You won't be talking right. You won't be doing right. We've got to fight back. And if we're going to fight back, we've got to learn to forgive those that offend us. That's why in that passage of teaching on forgiveness, it is concluded with these words, lest Satan should get an advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices. Hey, you may have to remove your pride. You may have, I don't know what it's going to take, but folks, let me tell you something. You better forgive when somebody hurts you, and especially around the church. Why? Because if not, Satan will get advantage of you. He'll shock you. You'll say, well, he didn't get me with drugs. No, he didn't. He didn't get me with booze. No, he didn't. He didn't get me with adultery. No, he didn't. He just got you with the lack of forgiveness, and he knocked you out anyway. Hey, a lot of pastors listen to my sermons online. Matter of fact, a lot of them preach them the next Sunday in their church. And so you pastors out there that are listening, let me say this. Let me say the men of God around here. If you don't learn to forgive when somebody hurts you, you won't be in the ministry for long. You won't make it for long. You will be hurt. You will be hurt. But if you want to survive the war, you say, I want to fight back. Don't go around fighting people all the time. Fight Satan. You say, all right, I want to fight Satan. Well, good, man. Learn to forgive. Learn to forgive. That's a good punch. Giving the old 1-2. Learn to forgive. Pastors' wives, better learn to forgive. You say, somebody hurt my husband. Better learn to forgive. You say, I want to fight. Better learn to forgive. Get your dukes up there. Say, I like that, Brother Owens. Let's talk about fighting. Okay, we will. Learn to forgive. Lest Satan get an advantage on you. And you might think, well, this seems a minor issue. No, this is major. This will keep you going for God. You've got to learn to forgive. Hey, church leaders, better learn to forgive. Say, but what they said, huh? They probably said it about somebody else last week. I'm ready to fight. Good. Learn to forgive. You see, let's fight back. How do we do it? We fight back by learning to forgive, lest Satan can get a sucker punch in there and knock you out with bitterness and a lack of forgiveness where he could not knock you out for going out and robbing a bank. Let me give you another way that you can fight back. Secondly, let's fight back by husbands and wives coming together like they should. Let's fight back. Now, the passage of Scripture I'm about to read to you comes from 1 Corinthians chapter 7. It is speaking of husbands and wives. Let me read it to you. It says this, defraud you not one the other, except it be with consent for a time that you may give yourselves to fasting and prayer, and come together again that Satan tempt you not for your incontinency. Now, I want to make sure you understand something here. It's talking about marriage, and it says, if you don't want Satan to tempt you and to mess you up, husbands and wives have got to come together appropriately. You can fight Satan for your marriage. You can fight him. Satan hates happy marriages. You say, Brother Owens, I want to fight for my marriage. All right, then I can tell you what you do. You've got to have time together as a husband and a wife. You've got to have that time together. Now, I'm talking about husbands and wives need time together where they talk. There's got to be time of communication. There's got to be time together. There's got to be, I believe there needs to be a time when you date and you get some barbed wire in the backyard, put your kids out back, and you go out on a date. Let Fido babysit for you if you need to. But you need that dating time. Listen, the Bible says here that they are to come together again that Satan tempts you not. You've got to come together. You need to come together and talk. You need to come together and spend time together on a date. But that's not really what it's talking about here. The primary thing it's talking about here is that husbands and wives need to come together physically so Satan can't tempt you with somebody else. What am I telling you? If you want to fight for your marriage, don't be cold toward one another. Don't be cold toward one another. The physical relationship between a husband and wife is very pure and decent and wholesome, and it is right only within marriage. That means, young people, you keep your hands off of each other. The unmarried people, you're never to touch each other. You're to stay. You're not to be doing that. You're not to be doing that hanky-panky. That's called fornication. You're never to be with anybody that you're not. You're not to be with somebody else when you're married to one. No, that's called adultery. That's wrong. But husbands and wives, could I encourage you today, if you want to fight for your marriage, make sure you're coming together often enough physically to keep Satan from tempting you or from tempting your mate. Get your dukes up and fight for your marriage. When you're cold towards your mate, you're not fighting for your marriage. You want your marriage to last? You need to come together that Satan cannot tempt one of the two of you, punch your marriage, and disintegrate your marriage. Let me show you another area. Let's fight back. Let's fight back. Let's fight back by fixing our temper and apologizing. You say, boy, Brother Owens, I like this idea of fighting. Let's fight back, okay? Ephesians chapter 4, verse 26 and 27 says this, be angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath, neither give place to the devil. Do you notice in each one of the passages, it's talking to us about the devil and the fight that we're in with him. And it tells us how we can stand up to him. Here it says, neither give place to the devil. Notice it said, let not the sun go down on your wrath. Listen, don't let Satan get a stronghold in your life. Don't give place to the devil. You say, how? How so? You're going to have to learn to control your anger, or you're giving him a stronghold in your life. I'll tell you what, temper will cause you more grief than what you realize. Temper will cause you to say things you'll regret, hurt people you never intended to hurt. Temper will cause you to do some of the stupidest things. Temper will cause you to quit your job. Temper will cause you to quit on your husband or your wife. Temper will cause you to hurt your kids. Temper will cause you to quit your job down at the church because you just, and I'm talking about, you know, a Sunday school teacher, a bus captain, you lose your temper, and in a rage you say, I quit. That's what temper will do to you. Don't let Satan have a stronghold in your life. You say, what kind? Your temper. But then, it says more than that. It says, be ye angry and sin not. That means there is a way that anger is appropriate. We're to be angry at sin, not at people. But it says, and let not the sun go down on your wrath, because if you do so, you're giving place to the devil. You're giving the devil a stronghold in your life. Notice what it says. It says, if you do lose your temper, don't let the sun go down on your wrath. Thank God for that. Because it's actually saying, yeah, you're probably going to lose your temper at some time. Amen? All of us. But he said, let me tell you about it. If you do lose your temper, don't you let the day pass without fixing it. How do you fix it? You apologize. Can you say that? Apologize? That means you say you're sorry. Sorry. There's a game called sorry. Some of you need to play it more often. You say, what's a big deal about apologizing before the sun goes down? Because if you're not careful and you won't get it right today, one day leads to two and two to three and three to four. And it doesn't take long until you're bitter, you're hateful, and God has destroyed you because you wouldn't apologize. Yeah, there's nothing wrong with you saying, I was wrong. Right. I apologize. Good. Apologize. You say, I want to fight. Okay, you want to fight? Apologize. That's how you fight Satan. You say, this isn't what I would have expected. Apologize. That's how you fight. Yeah, that's not how you know what? You say, I'll fight. You want to fight people. No, God said, if you want to fight Satan, you get control of your temper, and when it gets out of control, you apologize before the sun goes down, and that's putting a sucker punch to the devil. See, God's ways are not man's ways. God's ways are higher than man's ways. So, you want to fight? Hey, you want to fight back? Okay, then forgive. You want to fight back? Husbands and wives, come together physically so Satan can't tempt you. You want to fight back? Get your temper under control, but when you blow it, apologize before the day concludes. You want to fight back? Let me go on. You want to fight back? Fight back by being a serious-minded Christian. Fight back by being a serious-minded Christian. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8 and 9 says, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, is a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world." Now here the Bible tells us the devil is walking about seeking whom he may devour. But notice, he gave us a couple prefaces there. He said, now, be sober. He said, be vigilant. What's he doing? He's saying, you want to fight back? You've got a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. Now, don't lay down and become a steak sandwich for the devil to eat. Fight back. Say, how am I going to fight back? Fight back by being sober. And say, well, what sober mean? Sober is actually a Greek word, nepho, N-E-P-H-O. It means having a clear mind. Having a clear mind. Let's fight the lion. How are we going to fight this roaring lion? It means you need to be serious-minded about your Christianity. You need to insert God in all your decisions. Don't ever give it a rest. Always think spiritually. Clear your mind of the world and think God's way, 24/7. Every decision you make, look at its spiritual outcome. Have a clear mind spiritually. When it says be sober, why? Because your adversary, the devil, walketh about like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. You say, I want to fight the devil. Well, get your nukes up. How are you going to do it? Think spiritually. Have a sober mind. Don't play in the world and expect to make spiritual decisions. You will cloud your mind with the things of the world, make bad decisions. The devil will attack you like a roaring lion, and he'll have you for lunch. Philippians 2:5 says, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus." The word sober is having a clear spiritual mind. That's another way to fight the devil. Make all decisions spiritual decisions. Let's go on. What's another way that we can fight back? I want to fight back. Let's fight back by being constantly alert to the devil's attack. Let's fight back by being constantly alert to the devil's attack. Just so you know, he's not giving up on you. Folks, there is no discharge from this war. You say, I'm out of the battle. No, you're not. There's some people that have gotten backslidden or ran from the church. They say, well, I just didn't want to be where the spiritual battle was. They're still in the battle. They're still under attack. And you don't get out of this battle. There's no discharge from this war. You can't fulfill your obligation to God till you get to heaven. You're in the battle from now to the day you die. So you better realize something. He's not done with you. The Bible says, there again in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse number 8 and 9, it says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Now, here it tells us, he wants to devour us. What are we supposed to do? Be sober. What's it mean? We're to have a clear spiritual mind, making all decisions spiritual decisions. Secondly, we are to be vigilant. The word vigilant is a Greek word, gregario. It means this, always watching for the enemy. Always watching for the enemy. You should always stay alert to Satan's desire to destroy you. He is always looking for a way to get you. Always. 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 You need to not ever stop thinking about the fact the devil's out to get you. I am on, and I hope this doesn't sound wrong, but I'm pretty well on edge all the time. I don't want him to destroy my marriage. I don't want him to destroy my church. I'm watching all the time. Watch your back, buddy. You say, for the other Christians? Well, in some cases. But watch your back. Why? Satan, like a roaring lion, he's still out to get you. You say, He does not seem to be roaring. He's still a lion, and he's still out to get you. Gregario, always watching, 24/7, 365 days a year. Hey, listen, staff, he's on your trail. He may be setting you up for the kill right this second. Stop and face it. Is he about to ruin you? Hey, Christian, what decision will be your destruction? See, Satan never takes a vacation on destroying you. Satan never takes a break concerning you. He will take any opportunity to destroy you. Say, I want to fight back. Okay, then you better keep in mind that you have an enemy. The minute you forget you have an enemy, you'll find yourself thinking and behaving in ways that can destroy you. You know, doesn't it help us when somebody stands up and says, Satan's trying to get you. Satan's getting into this thing. Satan's got in this. And you say, oh boy, I didn't even see that. What happened? You are not vigilant. We've got to be vigilant. What's it mean? When you're vigilant, it means that your mind is aware of the fact that Satan takes no vacations in your destruction. Say sober. What's it mean? Every decision is a spiritual decision, and I've got to make sure that I know Satan's always out to destroy those decisions. Let me go on. Let's fight back. Let's fight back. How? By watching out for false preachers. Let's fight back. How? By watching out for the false preachers. 2 Corinthians 11, verse 14 and 15 says this, and no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works. Notice, Satan's ministers are transformed into angels of light. They look pretty good. But you know this, if Satan is a deceiver, he has ministers that are deceivers, preachers that are deceivers. Listen, some of you that are younger Christians, I'm going to tell you something. There are false, fake, phony, not right with God preachers. And there are a dime a dozen. There are far more of those than there are preachers that are truly committed to the purity of the Word of God. There are false churches, and we've got to fight back. Stop being so religiously gullible. Well, if they're sincere, I've got news for you. We are to obey the Word of God, period. Satan will beat you up if you don't wisen up to this truth. There are false churches, there are false preachers, and God said, and don't marvel at the thought of this, if Satan is a deceiver and makes himself look good, wouldn't his preachers be like that? Now, we hate to accept that. Listen, if we have developed a reverence for the term man of God, and we have developed a reverence for preaching, and we have developed a reverence for church, that's good. But you better not let your reverence go so far you don't believe that there are false preachers and false teachers and false churches. Because God said there was. Just because somebody talks about Jesus or God or makes mention of them, that does not make them right with God. A little religion thrown in with that false doctrine, it's still false doctrine and it's still wrong. So, you say, I want to fight back. Well, you better make sure that you realize not everybody that stands and preaches is preaching, thus saith the Lord, right with God. There all are false preachers, there are false teachers, and there are false churches. And some of you are just going to have to accept it. Especially some of you younger Christians, you TV Christians. Hey, isn't that a nice guy? Well, good. I'm glad you think he's a nice guy. I can tell you people running for the presidency that everybody thinks is nice people. Can't say guy because some of both. But it's not all about being nice people. It's all about being right with God. Now, I want to fight. Then stop and accept the fact there are people out there that are deceivers. They are ministers of the devil. You say, whoa, that ruffles my feathers. Good. You may need some of your feathers plucked. You're going to have to face it. There are false preachers and false churches. It's not go to the church of your choice. It's go to the church of God's choice. Say, how do I figure that out? Use God's word to decide. Let's go on. Let's fight back. How can we fight? Let's fight back by going all the way with God. Go all the way. Say, I want to fight. I want to survive my Christian life. Then you're going to have to stop dabbling in Christianity. You know, if you take a young man, put some boxing gloves on him, show him 20 moves, but him only pick up one that he decides he's going to use, he's going to get in the ring with somebody, and only knowing one move, he's going to get the snot knocked out of him for about 19 of 20 minutes. He better use everything he's taught. He better learn what he's supposed to learn if he's going to survive in the boxing ring. Let's fight back. How? By going all the way with God. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 11, put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. What's it talking about? You fighting back. You're not being a punching bag for the devil. It's telling us, but what are we to do? Put on the whole armor of God. Now, you can fight back. Now, the Bible tells us to put on the whole armor of God. I am not going to take the time to teach about all the armor of God. I want to take the time to talk about the word whole. Put it all on. The whole thing. You know what some of you need to do? Shout out to God. Go all the way for God. Change your life. Do what the Bible says to do. And for some of you, it would be a bit hard to believe, but there are people in this room tonight. There are things in their lives, they know they're not supposed to be there, but they don't mind them being there. You will get the snot knocked out of you by the devil. You say, well, how am I going to protect myself? Put on the whole armor of God. You say, what's the armor? I'm not going to take the time to teach that, but I'll tell you this. Just go all the way with God, do everything you know you're supposed to do, and you'll be a far cry safer. You say, what's the whole armor? What does God want you to do? What sin is in your life that's not supposed to be there? The whole armor of God. Let me give you one more. Let's fight back. Let's fight back. Let's not be a punching bag for the devil. Let's fight back. How in the world are we going to do it? I'll tell you how. We can fight back by forgiving. We can fight back by husbands and wives coming together so that Satan can't tempt you in the area of your physical relationship. Let's fight back. How? By controlling our tempers, and when we don't, apologizing and getting it right before the sun goes down. Let's fight back by being serious-minded Christians, sober, the Bible says. Let's fight back by constantly being alert to the attack. He's not given up. You are to be vigilant, always watching, never letting your guard down. Let's fight back. How? By just admitting the fact the Bible says there are false churches and there are false preachers, and there's some people who are dabbling with those false preachers and teachers. That'll ruin you. Let's fight back. How? By going all the way with God, putting on the whole armor of God. Let's fight back, and this is the last point I'll give you this evening. Let's fight back by resisting the devil. By resisting the devil. The Bible says in James 4:7, submit yourselves therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Doesn't that sound good? I put my dukes up. If I can do it right, he'll flee. Ah, I like that. There's nothing like being in a scrap with the enemy, and you get in, and he goes running home. And if you're on the playground with a bunch of boys, they're all saying, look at this sissy run. Now listen, the devil can flee from you. You don't have to stand there and take all the punches all the time. Some of you say, brother, always I feel like a punching bag. You obey what I'm teaching you tonight, and you'll be able to fight back a little bit. You can keep him from getting an advantage over you. You can keep him from making you miserable. Notice, you can fight back. First, though, listen to the verse. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Now, that's part of the key here. Say, I'd like to see him flee. First thing you got to do is you got to submit yourself, therefore, to God. You need to enlist God's help. Why? Because you can't handle the devil. You can't handle the devil. You need somebody that's big enough to handle the devil. And there's only one. That's God. My little brother came home crying one day. He'd been up the, and you've heard me tell this story again, but I love the story. My little brother had been up the street playing wiffle ball. Jerry Horn had hit my brother in the nose and gave my brother a bloody nose. My brother came running home. I was so mad. I got on my bike. I rode down to the wiffle ball field where everybody was playing. I didn't park my bike and, you know, put the kickstand down right. When you're mad, you throw your bike. I threw my bike down. I ran out onto the field. Jerry Horn was pitching. I ran out and I said, "Buddy, don't you ever mess with my brother again. I'll knock your block off." Of course, in Christian love. But I said, "Don't you ever do that again." Jerry Horn, boy, he was ready to get down. And no, I won't. I had a wiffle ball bat in my hand. I was going to knock him in the head with that thing. See, my brother enlisted help. And I was big enough to handle Jerry Horn. Now, if you want the devil to flee, you're not going to do it in the flesh. You're not going to do it because you say, "I like this sermon, Brother Owens." You better submit yourself to God. Then resist the devil. Then he'll flee from you. Now, you got to be willing to resist. That means you got to speak up. But what you do is you go to God and say, "God, I'm submitting to you. I need to tell the devil no. Now, God, you come along." And you say to the devil, "No, I'm not going to do it." And all of a sudden, the devil puts his tail between his legs and he takes off running. Now, if you're not careful, you'll think, "Look what I did." No, the devil was looking over your shoulder and seeing God standing there. Just seeing God stand there. The devil said, "You know what? This Owens guy, I could take him, but I'm not messing with God. I'm already in enough trouble with him." You submit to God, then you resist the devil, and you got your big brother looking over your shoulder, your heavenly father looking over your shoulder, and the devil says, "I don't think I'll hit him again." Why? I've got God on my side. I don't want you to be a punching bag for the devil. And so, as I was glancing through the scripture, I noticed over and over again this thing where there was something we could do to keep the devil from getting a shot at us here and a shot at us there. And I decided, I want to see. And those seven things that I taught you tonight may help you to fight back, may help you not to become a spiritual punching bag for the devil. You do these things, you have a much better chance of standing up in the fight. Oh, now don't forget, you won't beat him on your own. You must submit yourself, therefore, to God. Then stand up. Resist the devil, and he'll flee. But he's not so scared of you. He's scared of the one that's on your team. Your tag team partner. That's the one he's afraid of. Every head bowed, every eye closed.